from the members of the committee, and also from the financial and team up there. Oh, you're there now. Great. So the meeting is convened to engage with the financial and fiscal commission for that happening. We'll allow you to make some introductions. Let's start with the department first, and we'll allow the fiscal to address to introduce themselves. So you are, and you can excuse them.
My name is Mbuwonga Tabanko. I'm the Chief Financial Officer. Our office is director information management. We like to deal with the issues of data collection, warehousing, police, and
it's up to you, sir, to introduce your team. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. We have welcomed all the members of the third area on, and we thank you for having worked so hard on the social housing bill, and I believe everything has been put in place is ready for for Parliament. But thanks for the hard work. And I did represent you well as well in Angola. And I'll report to you in our meeting, not in front of everybody else, how Angola was. Can we hand over to the Financial Service Commission? Financial Service.
Why are we in government? As a result of the Constitution, Section 20, Chapter 13, which deals with all the financial issues, and then also in Section 222 of the Constitution, where we have to report to Parliament as our oversight, as well as the legislature. And also, Chair, what makes it a little bit difficult for this committee to grab hold of what is more in terms of how Parliament handles some of the reports. Mainly our work centers around the division of revenue, and that was 76.1 as well in terms of the constitution, and that was seized policy that yes. And it's not very going to the MAS, but we would love to ease part that in terms of the division of revenue. And governed by the CC on finances, all the finance and the other implications of the FFC's recommendations is far reaching in terms of housing and education, health infrastructure, social development, all that and more. And that's why we are very pleased to, via the CFK, to deal with the committees and to really give them. We as a finance department can recommend to government. We don't dictate or nor do we enforce. This is merely a recommendation that we get to Parliament, and Parliament exercises its oversight and uses this as a tool to check to the department as to what length did they go in using the recommendations to expedite how we deliver it. So, although this institution is very specific, not unique, we also have other institutions in the Grant Commission in Australia, and we also have the India Commission, and also Canada, US, but they all have different formats. Ours is more as a result of the negotiated settlement where we have an independent opinion on things, and which government has to respond in the end issues by the Minister of Finance. Also, we are guided by the FCA Act, the Intergovernmental Social Relations Act of 1997. We also have key input. Without our input, some of the bills would easily be contested. For example, the Presidential Procurement, but then there's also the Public Finance Management Act, as well as the Provincial Sector Relations Purchase Act, as well as the Presidential Procurement in part. And other acts. So some of the acts also are very important to us in the need to have a okay, this type of interaction is very key to us because then we understand what the committee's constraints are, we understand what our focus should be, and going forward we really value this. We are obviously framed and guided by the Constitution in Section 214, Subsection 287. We basically give them the title in terms of the division of revenue as a source of people. But that doesn't prohibit nor does it exclude this committee, for which we also have the recommendations on housing, to engage the government, which I think so I'll engage in the game. Sure, I think I wouldn't want to go any further than that. I'll ask Mr. Pankaj just to go into the details and talk to the
thank you, Henry. Thank you, Jeff. What I'm trying to present to you is comparison. I'm on the very first page of the document, or on page XD. But what we've been trying to do is different ways in which we can measure the performance or the budget performance of the provincial government departments that it could apply to the national level and at the municipal level. The first part of the presentation will be presenting the five recommendations on how performance budgeting or how we can measure performance. The main message that comes out of this is that we need more data, particularly non-financial data. But then apply that method to the housing department, the provincial housing department, and that points out several trends that have happened, or differences between the past and the budget in the future, the three-year budget in the future. And then we look at some issues relating to the housing allocation formula to the provinces. And as I said, the main issue is probably about data. After that, if the committee wishes, we can look at all the recommendations from the rest of the document, some of which may relate to housing, for instance, the infrastructure grant. We've got recommendations on transport and roads, financing of school infrastructure, as well as future education. But we can do that, I can quickly present that if you wish. Start with the actual formal presentation. The criteria which we start to use to measure fiscal performance were based on the basic criteria that are contained in Section 242 of the Constitution. But we picked out basically three of them. The national interest, which we is defined as how it relates to the policy priorities of government. The developmental needs, which is about the capacity or the institutional capacity of government to deliver, and then whether the share of revenue or the budget are stable and predictable. So those are the three criteria from the constitution that you use. Now I'm starting off with recommendation two because I think it relates to the first issue of our policy prioritization. And what we are recommending here, suggesting, is that to ensure alignment between policy objectives and budget, areas that have been identified as priorities should grow by a higher than average growth rate. And we can evaluate whether this is in fact being the case by whether the growth rate of the budget is higher than average. So for example, if we take a look over all of the provinces, in accordance with the CISA and GIPSA, there should be a prioritization on infrastructure and skills training. Now, for the most part, if we look at the capital budget, we look at the training budget, the department, we look at...
Are you speaking in terms of this recommendation? Are you talking in general, not necessarily in housing?
Currently in general, I will
apply
specifically to housing later. But exceptions include further education and training, adult basic education and training, and additional grants for health professionals. So those ones, although they have been prioritized in policy, have not in fact been prioritized in the budget. But the first recommendation, which is in the document, is about stability and predictability of the growth of budget. And here we are suggesting that the National Provincial Treasury should try to ensure a steady growth rate of budget right down to program level, and use the data from the past 3 years and project it forward and then with the next following 3 years of the budget. So past 3 years, the current year, and the next 3 years, 7 year period. We have data to do that, and it should be a check on how stable the growth rate is. The reason for that is that in many newly established, or some of the smaller programs, the programs that are important because they're listed in the Bill of Rights, such as adult basic education and training, such as welfare, such as housing, there's a trend to sometimes either over budget because it's been set as a priority, been over budgeted for, it goes beyond the capacity of the department to spend, therefore there's underspending, that's followed by a budget cutback, and so you get a very erratic kind of cycle, growth accelerating and decelerating. And it's particularly true when it comes to budgeting for infrastructure and skills training. It does apply in housing, although the cycle is much longer term. And these are priorities that have been established in the CISA and GIPSA. If we take a look overall across the provinces, again, adult basic education, further education and training, early childhood development, welfare, farm support, and road construction that are the most unstable. Third recommendation relates to project planning. This is essentially an issue of the Treasury and National Treasury and been extending through into the provincial departments with the infrastructure development and implementation program. And basically, where there's a disjuncture between public works and, say, education or health, where the one department plans and budgets for infrastructure and another department delivers. And this can be between provinces and municipalities and between provinces and other delivery agencies. If you keep planning in the 1 year, planning and procurement in the 1 year, and implementation in the next year or the following, and budget accordingly, it would solve a lot of the problems that we have in terms of late disbursements, end of year fiscal dumping, test of adjustment, and the like. The fourth recommendation is probably where we're most concerned in terms of the best ability to analyze performance or people to give meaningful answers on it. But we're suggesting that every departmental service delivery program should be defined by and reported in the provincial budget and expenditure review, which is 50 release, according to the actual and targeted number of beneficiaries. Then the should give detail on the number of personnel in that program working in that program, as well as the budget by skills level. Particularly relevant in terms of teachers and nurses, that it would have it, there would be officials in the housing department, engineers and some of the like, that we need to be prioritized. If we don't see it on the budget, it's not coming out clear in the budget, we can't analyze that issue. Then the current items in capital that have to be used in service delivery. Now, if I can say something here in respect of housing, the data that's received is housing under construction and completed. But it's more important to know what we want to know how many houses are completed and then how many houses are occupied. Because it just hides too much to put it all into one category as it appears in the document. And I'm sure the housing department has that data. Also in respect of housing, the program, we couldn't find in that document anyway the housing delivered for the social housing program, or the rural housing program, or the project link, or the people housing project. And that would help. It certainly should be a presentation document. But this type of non-financial data is required to enable an assessment of progressive realization. By that we mean, what's the difference? We have a certain targeted number of beneficiaries, how much of that has been achieved. And if the growth in meeting the demand is higher than the demand rising, in other words, if the number of households being generated, the number of houses being built is faster than the number of households being generated, then you have to see progressive realization. Efficiency is the cost per house and some level of inflation, some measure of inflation that is shown faster or slower than the average inflation rate. And by all accounts, the building inflation rate is quite a lot higher than the average inflation. And then effectiveness is, I guess, in terms of housing, whether what proportion of the population remains homeless. And that's an issue that comes to the end of the presentation. The fifth recommendation, and this has been initiated by Public Works, but it's the methodology, the suggestion of all departments to measure their subject, what's the economic impact of their spending. Of their capital planning and their current spending. So for example, how much employment, even if it's casual employment, that has been created through the housing process. What kind of impact does this have on the distribution of wealth, mainly in the form of property? And what's the contribution to economic growth? Then try, this is what the policy performance of the housing department, the provincial housing department. So we apply the same four criteria. The average for all provinces is that the growth of budget between over the last 3 years has been 5%, but the real growth of budget over the next 3 years, including this year, is 4.13%, so there's been a slight drop overall. Now if we look at the housing department, over the past 3 years, the housing department has declined. Okay, by less than 1%, there's actually been a decline in the budget of housing. Now, there's some attempt to compensate for that in the next 3 years budget, where the growth rate is 9.34%. Now, that's a very radical change in the budget. Probably too much for the housing department to absorb. How volatile this budget is. You can see it somewhat reflected in personnel. There's a growth of 4.63%, which is more like the provincial average, but the personnel in the housing department is growing much faster than the amount of money going into housing itself, which is the integrated housing and settlement drop. During this period, climbed by 6.15%. Now then, there's a big overcompensation, 5.3% of the budget in the next 3 years. So that's the main, what's happening with the integrated housing and settlement grant is the main driver of the housing department's performance. The net data for the past 3 years, so we don't know, but the budget seems to indicate that there's a minus 10% growth, or a decline of minus 10%. And if we're talking about providing skills to the workforce of the personnel department of housing, that would not be a positive trend. The capital is not terribly important. The capital here refers to the offices of the housing department.
Well, two days. Okay.
Okay. So the general trend is that over the past 3 years, the transfers to the housing subsidy have been declining, and now they're growing very fast. That's too fast. The growth in personnel is declining at a time when the budgets are increasing for housing. The training budget is declining, which is against the idea of improving the skills of personnel. Capital is about office space. But there's again, it's very variable. Growth of 17%, decline of minus 7%. But it's only 1% of the budget, so it's not a very important. If you look in the last column, which is about under or overspending, this is the average over underspending over the past 3 years. For all provincial departments, it's 2.25%. And that's well below the audit general. 10.5. With housing, it's a bit higher. It's 8% overall for the department. And that is because of underspending of an average of 11% on the housing and settlement grant.
You mean at the national level?
Yes. It's all provinces combined. So it's not the national department.
That's all provinces
combined.
It's
the all provincial housing department. So that's quite hard. And we look at some of the reasons that we think that has been, why that has been. There's been understanding of 4.62% on the personnel budget. But no, that's still below 5%. Today, if we look at the delivery performance, in the main document, this is on the next term, page 97, the actual management of the just giving a summary of that.
97.
Around about 1997, the the housing department, the data that we've got from the housing department, is an average of 994 to run by 2,000. And every year we run about 170,000 houses. I guess in completion or under construction or completed. That jump drops to 8,809 dwellings completed in financial year 2005. Now the new PDER will update that figure. Because the residential targets are to be reached, the delivery rate is to be somewhere in the region of 20,000. But it needs to be a lot more. Now, one of the reasons we thought that there's been underspending on the subsidy is that the capital subsidy hasn't been consistently indexed to inflation. And there's also the case to whether what inflation rate to use, the average inflation rate or the building cost inflation rate. But then there's, with breaking new ground, there was a sudden big increase in the capital subsidy amount and widening it to more affluent income levels. But it was very sudden. So since we probably haven't had time to catch up with that. But when the capital amount doesn't increase with inflation, it just becomes less and less feasible for developers to build an adequate quality housing. And also that municipalities now have a very unclear relationship to what they should be doing. So if the housing subsidy producing less and less, it's the municipality which is being forced to pump it up, either in providing the services. The original idea was that the subsidy would cover water, access roads, sewer, electricity and the top structure. But if the values get eroded in this way, then the municipality will probably have to provide servicing and there's probably a lot of resistance then to accreditation. Particularly in lower capacity municipalities, it's probably retaining better housing departments. But the FFT has in the last has recommended that housing be accredited to municipalities. It's seen in the Division of Revenue Bill, the Division of Revenue Bill has included it over the past 2 years. And as I understand it, not all, at least the first stage would be that all the metropolitan municipalities would take up accreditation, followed by the higher capacity municipalities. This might all be made easier if the municipal infrastructure grant is split into reticulated and bulk components, where the reticulation is the services going into the house itself, so the water line, sewer line, or the line. Where the bulk are the dams and the treatment work plants and so on. Now that would make it easier to know that the housing grant for top structure, there's a services grant for the municipalities to provide housing, and then there's a bulk one for
so you mean at the moment there's no differentiation in terms of net grant? There's no distinction.
It makes different types of distinction. I can go into that.
Okay.
If I just kind of share.
Sure, you can go that. Sure.
I'll go on.
Okay.
But generally there's limited reporting of the non-financial department, or at least not coming through to the commercial budget and expenditure review. And that's the main thing to be used. The next part of the presentation relates to the housing allocation formula, and our main issue here is about homelessness. Basically, the formula used to have homeless individuals in the case of housing needs, and that was before the census considered as provided that information. It no longer does so, and so it's been dropped out of the formula. And what we're proposing is that the Protestant Housing Pressure Classification stop collecting the homelessness data. It's a matter of improving the methodology of the census provided or the general household survey provided. Presentation we're giving to also to the Department of Public Works. Reviewing some of the FSP's views on local government grants, in particular the municipal grants and the local equitable share.
Sorry, what document are you using for this one? Because we don't have.
This is a supplementary presentation.
It's supplementary, so you haven't made this copy for it. Okay.
Okay,
just click on it. Okay. That's fine. The glasses, okay.
Yeah, we do have.
Okay.
Criteria that we use in looking at this linkage between the local equitable share and the infrastructure grant, need to provide a perhaps an end between municipalities to extend infrastructure efficiency so that there isn't time scheduling and there's proper project planning involved. It needs to achieve equity, so that involves a concentration on the least housed or the people in informal settlements that are homeless. We need to account for different capacities, well, the metropolitan municipalities need capacities and then rural ones. And again, there's a large variation in whether municipalities have housing departments and how functional they are. them to ensure that they continue, I guess, within the LES to take into account not only of the subsidy to the household, but the maintenance costs of that infrastructure that's being provided. So there's a link between the target of all of those components to work smoothly, more smoothly. Housing, both providing services, subsidies to the household, free basic services, and then the maintenance. Okay, in its last submission, the agency recommended that the municipal infrastructure therefore needs to go beyond the current formula, which is basically the infrastructure, the D component, public municipal services T, and T is the second institution for micro enterprises. We think it should be that there is a split between ultimate articulators. Within there should be a link between this, either within the grant or within another grant of capital construction and maintenance components.
Alright, we'll take it as given.
Because it's more in detail here. Would you like me to go to the remaining
5 more minutes and members, you don't want to be quiet for long. Let's give you the last 5 minutes to wrap up, then you can go open for members and engage.
On the financing of roads and transport infrastructure, again, there's a call here for more non-financial data, the number of kilometres that have been built and maintained and rehabilitated, the number of vehicles that are using those roads, preferably some idea of the number of passengers. And we need that for all different types of roads. In some question, I guess, as to whether the provincial, what's the distinction between provincial and municipal road, from which is there. But we do feel that within the provincial equitable share, there's a backlog, the old backlog component, where this issue, but means by which we can measure it within the provincial equitable share, would be a look at the maintenance requirements of the existing road and infrastructure in provinces. If that's not explicitly considered, it can then be sidelined within the budget. And the costs then become rise exponentially over time. We won't go into the World Cup funding.
Leave that for sport.
This is a recommendation on how the infrastructure grant provinces can be adjusted to the infrastructure for schools, the development and improvement of schools infrastructure. This program calls for more complete coverage for basic minimum or minimum standards to be set in providing the number of meals and quality of food provided to school children at the primary school level before we move on to secondary school. And for basically the children in Mercy School, it's the support by the minimum level that we require.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think what we need to do then, members, let's start with the first documentation that we received, and then engage on the basis from one recommendation to another. We agree in terms of that approach, because in that way we'll be able to follow up what is being recommended as. And I think we should allow the department to engage whenever you feel like engaging. Because at the moment, it is the presentation delivered to the committee, we are engaging. It doesn't mean that we are going to concretize our recommendation today. It's a question of engagement. Yes. Start with Ms. Greg, Ms. Neiman, followed by Mrs. Payne. In that order. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Comrade Chair, and thank you to the SST for the presentation. I think the first question I'd like to ask is the SST on a yearly basis issues these reports. What has been the interaction with housing, with the Department of Housing over the past previous years? One has heard, whether it's true or not, that often recommendations are made, but not necessarily worth taking into account. I'm not talking about housing, I'm talking about in general. But I'd like to just get an idea to, in terms of the recommendations that have been made with relating to housing specifically, what has been the response of the Department of Housing? Have you seen many of those recommendations being implemented? Could we just get a sense of that? I think that would be quite helpful to understand that. Then, I've got other questions, but I'll come back to them. But just one other question I would like to ask, and then I'll look at my other questions, and that is relating to slide 9 on this first presentation. You spoke particularly about the need for the housing subsidy to be increased in line with inflation, and you mentioned some of the impacts if it's not. Now, for a number of years, we had the subsidy remain static and didn't increase. And then as you quite rightly indicated, it has increased and it started to increase in quite a substantial amount. But if you take the period where that subsidy had not been increased for a number of years, and you look at where we are now, In the view of the SST, has the housing subsidy actually caught up that inflation backlog? Have you done any work to say, well, those are the years that never increased, now increased, but actually there's a backlog in terms of the subsidy? Have you done work on that, and do you have any information on that? Because that would be quite interesting to understand and to see whether, in fact, we're behind, and that's perhaps the reason why we're not able to build the type of house we want to build, etc. Just interesting to see your views. Thanks, Chair.
Sustain?
Thank you, Chair. So just to expand on my colleague's first question, I also want to know the relationship between very specifically housing departments and yourself in terms of your recommendations. You can expand on that and what do you actually mean to see, not only put it on paper, but to see that they have adopted? What sort of relationship is there? And to bring into your recommendation, and I'm starting with recommendation 1, which, by the way, I agree with all the recommendations, it's just that one that I have a different viewpoint on. But recommendation 1, I fully agree with what you recommended. The problem I have is, how do you have a stable and predictable growth path? If, like we're doing now in housing, if they have to go back and look at block projects, and also simultaneously go back and look at houses that have been completed, but that was a very bad quality that needs to be addressed. So it needs to be done parallel to obviously new housing. So how do you get this predictable growth? in a scenario like that. Then just in terms of your recommendation number two, and I may misunderstand the presentation here, I'm under the understanding that you indicated that provinces have prioritized infrastructure and future. It is not our experience when we go out of province, both in terms of skills training as well as infrastructure. There's very often, and more often than not, housing projects that have been started, that are under construction, that actually can be changed in place with infrastructure defined. So it's a different experience to what we've seen here. I'm going to just keep three and go to four. Your report is, this has been mentioned, and I think we do have a concern that we get an annual report that says X amount has been spent in children's houses, both and or under construction. And it's easily, certainly a deficiency, I think, in the reporting, because it's a loophole for, you actually don't know what the money's been spent on. So, in terms of that, what exactly, other than just a recommendation, are there any proposals? And I would imagine the provincial department should have it because they pay off the substance against a house. So if there's expenditure they can account for, they should in fact be able to tell us how many houses to keep up. But again, what other than this broad recommendation, what is your interaction doing with the department? And I'll stop for now.
Ms. Jambuza? And then after that, we'll give over to you.
Okay, thank you very much. My passion is around to municipality accreditation. I would like to know from the FSC which observe the issue of capacity in the municipalities themselves. Because I think the department has been always struggling for the municipality accreditation. But seemingly the FSC is observing that there is low pace. But I would like to know if they can be able to observe what is the problem that causes the dislocation of the health association. So what are you advising on that case, what especially on the capacity building of the municipality? And then the second one is around the promotion of indigenous housing in the housing sector. What are your opinions on that scenario? And what would you recommend? Because I think they need to promote that sector. So what recommendation would you make to the department of that sector?
Yes, over to you.
Okay. Let me check the relationship with the Department of Housing. Just to answer the question from two sides, from the point of view of the FSC loan capacity, we're in a situation where we can research in a particular field. So this year we concentrated on the largest provincial departments, which is education and health, and now we're moving into roads and public works and housing and more the infrastructure related functions. So we've really been making recommendations on housing as in the past 3 years. In respect to the interaction with the Department of Housing, it has been just a little, and that's what we are hoping that this engagement will assist in doing this. It's part of reporting to all the portfolio committees in the National Assembly, we're able also then to organize ourselves around the department and the portfolio committees. So this is a really important part of that engagement. I hope that answers the whole question. On the question of whether we, over the past 10 years or so, whether the housing subsidy amount, whether we have specific arguments that the housing subsidy amount has kept pace with inflation, it is something that we can take as a I have got the data is available to do that. We haven't done it, and we can take it as a request to take forward. that committee, so that's what the portfolio committee measures. I think in respect of whether the how can we stabilize the housing budget when there are so many blocked projects and when there are poor quality housing, I think what I'd probably suggest is I think there's been some debate within the housing department as to what the minimum standard is, minimum size, 30 or 40 meters squared, and so you can use that as a benchmark for the cost of the minimum amount. Then the other thing I would suggest is that there be separate programs identified for block projects and poor quality housing. So in a sense, there are programs or sub-programs for rural housing, rural traditional indigenous housing, social housing in the city, project links in the township areas. Then you take out the houses that are projects that are blocked or the ones that are in poor quality that they're not able to be occupied and put them into another program and then you can budget for that according depending on what differences in the cost between the minimum standard and what can actually be provided. I think so I think it's an organizational thing within the department or reporting requirements like for the Department of Housing to the connection department to the provincial department. Okay, in terms of how prioritization seems to plan, yes, purely been in terms of fiscal financial criteria rather than the delivery impact. So I think, and I, again, it comes up with a call for expecting non-financial data so that we can and then you can prioritize, you can do an analysis of yes, the budget has grown faster than average, the delivery rate has grown faster and slower than average, the number of houses occupied has grown at all below target. That would then be yes, on recommendation 4 in the annual report, we have suggested before for distinctions we made between those in, under construction, those houses completed, also those houses occupied, and even receiving title, or having title and possession of title. In the question of municipal accreditation, and I guess what we've got to me, there is an emptiness a way in which the municipalities have been categorized according to their capacity, like more primarily their financial capacity. But perhaps we need a similar way of defining municipalities according to their capacity to deal with housing or their capacity to manage projects, manage housing projects. And then again, I guess as I mentioned, of metropolitan municipalities do already have some capacity to stay to deliver, but then from there it filters out. The larger towns that have more capacity, which have somewhat less capacity relative to the demand, and then these parts of the former homeland areas would be even lower capacity. You can then structure a grant to give more to the less capacitated municipalities in terms of capacity building. On the promotion of indigenous housing, yes, I think the issue has just been the issue of whether you concentrate on urban areas or rural areas in the migration process. I think underlies your question there. Yeah, whether it should be rental housing in the urban areas and the recognition that data on in life, you will retire in the rural areas, or whether the possibility is that someone can apply for a housing subsidy twice in their lifetime. But then maybe is that a problem? I don't know. Or at some level it passes on to increasing the housing stock, and at some level it is passed on to others who have less well housed.
Hopefully. It doesn't happen.
But I don't know. I think, I mean, offhand, I'm just answering now rather to the question.
Because of the backlog, we hope that the person would benefit once and then other people should.
I don't know how big an issue it is whether someone is receiving the subsidy twice in their lifetime or two or three times in their lifetime.
No!
I mean,
the cake is too small. Okay, but I just
on Mr. Sneeman's question.
Yes.
Look, the interaction of the EPC with housing departments and provincial departments is also guided by the IGFR Act, the Development of the Prevention Act. Where there is different forums that allows the EPC to
engage
and to observe and to engage. And at the end of the day, the outcome is an act of parliament. It is within the Division of Revenue. It is how does the department take it forward? It is how the department is going to engage it.
No, what Greg was asking, how serious has the department taken this recommendation you've been making in your observation?
In terms of our interaction with, especially with the Commission of the Environment, look, at the end of the day, we cannot interrogate the department and tell them that it's a problem to do that. And we've observed that, look, some of the recommendations have been taken to the department. But as to the outcome thereof, maybe it has to take a little bit on the flip side. Now, that is where the department can come in and say, look, this is what we are facing.
Okay.
But I think it's quite on this side.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think from our perspective, particularly around this is because it doesn't seem to be answered directly. And I think perhaps it might be an issue of institutional relationship that may lead to this. Secondly, I think FFT has been sending technical people to engage.
With you guys?
Yes. I think in that you will note that in the report they are actually responsive to responses.
Okay.
Some of those responses are issues of input. We also need input to some of the issues.
Okay.
Certainly that relationship, that relationship could improve. In fact, the engagement itself could improve, whether it's a policy relationship or it could improve. Because I think at least quite a lot in the past we've engaged with lower people. Sometimes they change the social level of debate and understanding is not always the same. But on the substantive issue,
I think you're raising a good point.
Yeah.
They're sending people of a lower level.
They have been.
So you don't want to take them serious?
No, we do take them serious. Because I think at the end of the day, we have been in colliding with some of the issues when we discussed the oral hearing.
Okay.
And therefore we've understood them extremely. We do understand that it's a serious institution. I think in providing some of the challenges, I have to be fair, they have raised quite a lot of the sensitive issues here. Some of them may not be necessarily resolved to the extent that the recommendations are sometimes because of certain beyond.
Yes,
like the issue of the statistics, I think. We are engaging with, we've been engaging with that essay on this matter constantly. The dilemma has been to, at what stage do you use unofficial statistics? And that is not desirable too. So I think in that regard, that recommendation remains because then it helps us in
South Africa must move
to move forward on some of those critical issues. Otherwise, as you understand, Chairperson, in the engagement, that means that certainly there is no desire from housing to exclude any of the factors that fit the definition of inadequate housing. There is that. It's just that there is always also a counter criticism of using stale information, etc. So, I mean, there is always that debate about the setting of the provinces, Western Cape, Gauteng, etc. But effectively, say, if you continue to allocate on historical basis, you are actually not taking realities on the ground into account in doing these allocations. And I think those kinds of things are. But I think the relationship at that level, I think engagement.
So that means then, if you look in terms of South Africa,
yes.
In terms of the data,
yes.
And the years, the allocation formula is happening in the department just from now, so that utilizing what status is giving you.
Yes.
It may not be relating to the status quo in terms of the people right now.
Yes.
So which means you will not see.
At some stage there was that issue of historical information.
Mm.
In some cases, I think SSA has updated some parts of the information. They do the, what is it called? Surveys. Snapshot surveys. And they publish review the information.
Okay.
I'm not sure, it's 2011 that they are going to do the next Chairperson, in the past we have taken seriously the recommendation. For an example, I think one of the reasons why we posed the BNG as well, revisited the formula, was likely because we needed to respond to some of the issues of the issue of
the rural housing.
And the issue of the biasness of the formula. I think it's been dealt with in line with engagements and consultations that have been in the, and also the issue of finding an appropriate performance-related sector, which was an issue raised by SSP. Surprisingly, there is an additional part which is subject to research in housing, which I think outcomes would assist in determining what sort of action we take. The issue of regional price differentials as well.
Okay.
That recognizes that, in fact, you may have to deal with the constitutional issue of equity, not on the basis of the price or contribution to each household, but on the basis of the product. That, in fact, is defined that you are producing, you are delivering a certain product to all, and if the price and the various rates are different, then so that the allocation then should recognize that. But I think that has to be done very empirically and very in a research way, so we're working on that research to see what would be the appropriate arrangement to do with that. But that is also an issue that has been raised. In fact, some of the recommendations made by FSC have been used. We have enhanced our arguments in trying to argue for more money, both in terms of providing the capacity to deliver, which is unfortunately, I think maybe structurally that's something we will probably engage with them as we do the new order again, because we need to make this point forth. That in fact we need to FSC needs, as they are beginning to deal with it, to put pressure on the allocation, because this for conditional for functions like ours, which is a concurrent function, we provide the capital, the funding for the capital part, the major part. The expectation is that out of equitable share, provinces will provide the support. And I think the extent to which that support and the capital growth have been going, and this is one of the arguments here that we find. That may not be articulated in that way, but it's effectively one thing. Is that you need to have some sort of correlation between the two. As you grow this size, both in terms of numbers and the definition of the quality and size and minimum number, you also need to make sure that you've got the concomitant allocation.
What do you mean when you say that provinces must provide the support of the member?
That means the provincial department must recognize that there is an increase that is
okay.
In the grant itself.
So, which so that in terms of personnel?
In terms of personnel and all of the support.
Okay.
I think that argument does begin to be. But it's been a subject of that sort of increase in the. We were awaiting that to a certain day because we were informed the oral process is again starting for looking at the oral next year, and we were expecting that everything would come, and we'll look at some of them. But the others have been recommendations that I've put in the past have been we will make engagements as we go
through that. I've noted in your recommendation tree, for example, you are speaking about the issue of planning. At this juncture between planning and implementation, and that the fact that some other departments focus mainly in doing the planning and the budgeting, and that somebody else must do the implementation, and that this juncture itself creates some form of misnomer in terms of implementation, or even go to the level of understanding because of that correlation. I think it's one of the issues that we need to look at, and in fact, it's one of the issues that when we speak in terms of the policy conference that we are focusing on, the issue of centralized planning. Because we feel that planning, not only for the Department of Housing, but the planning itself must be able to be gelling properly. Things are not as they're supposed to be in terms of planning. For example, if you're talking in terms of infrastructure, the migrants, if you're saying to me up till now there is no ring fencing of saying this one is supposed to be used for education and this one for this, that, definitely, it means it's at the discretion of the municipality how they need to allocate that funding. So housing must wait. And they will say it's an unfunded mandate and all these type of things. So which means somewhere, somehow, we are not really doing as we're supposed to channel things. I think that recommendation is very important that we look at it. Also, the other issue is the issue that relates to the expenditure. That's the diagram that you have on your slide 8. I think we need to engage it further in terms of the issue of personnel and the department and the budget and the capital itself. We need to interrogate that diagram more. And I think maybe the scenario that arises out of the fact that the BNG has been put in the, how the N2G3 scenario impacted on that, we want to know that. But we know exactly as we move forward, we are able to say these are the things that made us what we are. Members, Mr. Stain followed by Greg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I indicated earlier that there was one recommendation I wasn't completely in sync with. And that is the one talked about the homelessness as an important indicator. And I agree with that, Chairperson, a variable in the formula. However, I think linked to this, because one can't just take the homelessness in a province and say, well, that's the amount of money we need to get, without considering the capacity to spend that money. So, together with that as a variable in the formula, there should be some sort of variable regarding whether they have the capacity to spend that. That was a question to the department in terms of the reporting, the non-financial reporting. Is there any reason at this point in time why in the reporting, in the annual report, with expenditure, we cannot be told or can't be put in the report how many houses have actually been completed and how many are under construction for a specific year, rather than then putting them all together. And then lastly, Chairperson, on that diagram you were talking about on slide 8, I just want to talk under the firstly, under the capital, it says there's a spending, underspending of 25%. Now, I want to know on what is that based. In other words, what was the assumption made to say that there was an underspending of 25%? And then the old bugbear that we've got as a committee, the PPP, the People's Housing Program, the PHP loan. Why do we have, there doesn't seem to be any information, and let's focus there on this.
You know.
I want to hear from the FSC. Why? Because we have the same problem. There seems to be a lack of information.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Greg?
Sure. Thanks, Chair. Just two things that might really be for the department to answer as well. But in terms of recommendation 5, I understand that recommendation really to be looking at the if I understand it correctly, the type, the amount of jobs that housing is creating, etc. But is it not, would you not think that perhaps we also need to get an understanding as to how the delivery of housing has reduced poverty in communities? And I'm not talking about through job creation. I'm talking about a person being a beneficiary of a house. Because a number of years ago, the previous minister, Tebi Mahanyele, actually indicated once, I remember saying that she had opened a housing project and she'd gone back there about a year or two later. And the very people that received those houses were in worse poverty conditions than they were when they received the house. And that started to, I mean, I've often said to myself, surely we need to be actually looking to say, hey, we've given somebody a house. It may have improved their living conditions, but has it improved overall? What has been the impact there? And the reason why I'm asking that is because the Breaking New Ground strategy talks about the fact that we need to provide all the necessary infrastructure at the same time. But nowhere is there any talk of when we build a N2 gateway or Cosmo City, I'm using those as examples. There's nowhere that talks about that strategy, as far as I'm aware, that talks about to ensure that there are proper training, the Department of Labor comes in, Department of Social Development, job creation opportunities, etc. And I'm not, again, it's delinked from the actual building of the house. They're actually saying, how do we actually make sure that there are these specific jobs are the ones we want to create in that community? Either it be a petrol station owner or a takeaway shop or a hairdresser. So I'm just saying, you know, because we don't really have a sense of how, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that we're not getting a real picture at times of how that actually decreased poverty for that particular beneficiary and that particular community. That'd be the one question, Chair. Just my other question would relate to on the planning. Breaking New Ground strategy or policy now talks about the fact that when we build, put together a new housing development, at the same time should be schools, the necessary police stations if it's necessary, clinics, community halls, sports fields, etc. But in reality, we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that in reality. We've got a couple of examples where a couple of things have gone in, but the rest is just on paper still. Has the FSC looked at that? Because the problem, I think, sometimes is how do you get these departments to sit down together and to budget jointly? So that when we are saying we're going to build another 10 Cosmo cities around the country, that at the same time that housing comes in that plan, so must the Department of Education, so must SAT, so must health, so must DPLG, libraries, etc. How does the FSC see that problem being overcome? Because I think that's a huge, huge problem. And as long as these departments just don't work together, don't talk to each other, we've got a problem. And how would they then propose that housing overcomes this? Because I suspect that sometimes we allocate money and then suddenly come up with the project. We're not getting a sense in this committee at times. We don't get a sense of in advance of the MTF. We're not being told these are where the projects are going to be over the MTF. So we don't know that. How do the other departments know that? Thank you.
Mouthful, let me give it to you. And then, Dick, you want to ask now?
No, the thing is only on that KCE.
KCE.
Yeah, because I know that is a very important thing for the consumers always to know about. And then I ask myself why the FSC just keep quiet on not knowing what is happening about that. And not indicating to us what may be the problem with them of not getting information. Then Mr. Singh asked about it, but I wanted to push it further that they must understand the importance of that change. Okay.
Mr.
Yes.
In response to the question.
Yes.
Okay, can I start with your first comment? Can I just get clarity? Is the idea that the, all delivery of schools stay within education, delivery of housing within housing, delivery of roads within roads, rather than it going out to public work? I think it would be a better idea to put operation and capital planning from the same department. Are you proposing that?
No, we're not proposing that. But what we're saying is that, I mean, each department, when they do the planning, should be such that we are aware what housing is going to do. We are going to build housing in a particular area. And that area that we are going to build houses on, it should be roads, it should be schools, it should be police stations, it should be local economic area, or trading area. Yes, integrated development plans, yes. So that each allocation is going, because what happens is that housing is giving housing this year, and then the education will do its planning for next year or 3-4 years to come. By that time, the learners are in that area, there's no school, there's nothing. So it's not taking into account the BNG. The building of new ground says that we are building community.
I think on that broader question, I'm not quite responding.
Yeah, so to my question.
I'm thinking aloud rather than at the end of the speech. I think easier to do at the municipal level. I think then it would make a settlement between your unit of planning. So that, and then each department, and it would have to be each municipal department and each provincial department. Or provincial department should ideally be based around municipalities.
Because
then you can interact with that section within the provincial housing department or the provincial transport department within the municipality. And then from so then each settlement or new settlement or upgraded settlement within the integrated development planning process we ask that each department respond on each settlement. Then it can be a case of scheduling. In some instances, the school can follow the first some houses, but water counts. Water has to go in there first, or the layout of water has to be the first thing. There are possibilities of scheduling. But that in some sense, when the municipality almost drives the
development.
Yeah, drives the delivery and also drives the budgeting at provincial level. And then they would have to sort it out in national level. In the settlement of the 2,000 houses coming in, that has a need for the housing department, then a need for water, which will have impact on mineral and energy and electricity. Education. Everything. In fact, every single department in for that matter, the report, the sports field, the architecture school, or, yeah. Now, that's just thinking aloud. The integrated development plan would then must have a housing section. Even if it doesn't have a housing department, it's going to have a housing section, which involves an interaction with a potential housing department. And the unit, a person, each one person within that, within the provincial housing department, is able to deal with the situation. Mr. Gerbeck, same question. We can try and follow that. I'll pass that on. The question of the capacity. Meant to be included within the allocation formula. So that to either counteract, presumably to counteract poor institutional capacity. The basis of the understanding is a comparison between budgets and spending. Now we get the budget from the budget statement. To be absolutely precise, we get back from the January version of the budget statement. The more correct one is the one that comes up in March, April. And then the spending against that. But that income from the annual financial statement. and sometimes there are some disjunctures between the budget statement and the financial statement to be written document exactly at the same time. So that's the issue that we have thought out of treasury. Yeah, I mean, we ask the same question, where is the information on the in a longer version of this report, we've got a little bit of detail, but it's on one problem, from the text, and we haven't, can't really say very much about the specifics of the department, but it's at least the department that they give us the data, check our department, the housing program, especially in the rural public links, at least by taking the time, right? I definitely agree that we should have a sufficient idea of what the value of the house is and how it impacts on the distribution of wealth and therefore, and then broader measures on policy. And if that can be done at the community level or at the settlement level, that's ideal. But that's asking a lot of the center. But I guess in the budget allocation formula or in the way that the department requires reporting, and they can be reporting on how many people were trained, what is the budget for training, how many people, and how many hours, and then number of enterprises, health, or number of subcontractors, and then filtering out into the community the impact on all the flaws and so on. It is more difficult to measure, but we certainly think it should be, because housing does have an economic impact, not only directly but indirectly in terms of creating an infrastructure base. I will pass on this issue. How do we deal with integrated development plan and be enabled? We can some recommendations on that. So, taking account of all the community and structures that goes with it. I would say our plan should be in the same grant. I think the plan is in a different grant. If it's not ring fenced in some way, it's going to be wrong.
I think they've been accomplished. I think some of the important issues are actually dealt with, and I think that's appropriate time for the committee, particularly on those areas that the committee is concerned about, where the crisis is in. For example, I think we did recognize that the national strategy, I think that's reflected also as a result of the energy, has played a very reactive role to issues of planning and guiding and dealing with the issue of understanding what's wrong. That's because I think historically the grant, the way in which the provincial budget structure was done previously was also itself problematic, and I think through the CFO forum we've managed to change that. And you will see the budget, for the budget statements that we have now, split the grant in terms of the program, in terms of the instrument. You will see finance linked housing, project linked housing, which I think needs to change in terms of the new code. Because now, before we look at the issue of the implementation of upgrading of informal settlement programs. So you will see that the budget statement tools that you will see for provinces now are much more fixed in terms of this. So they begin to tell you what is the plan spending on each of those areas. And I think I would hope that by the time they finish, because they are now engaging with the planning process, the province will continue dating. that in fact we may be able to come better than ever before when we do the national plan to indicate what are the potential contributions to that national plan. I think to allow this, I think one of the issues of this relationship with the other three is sometimes the extent of the information that may be available isn't wasn't readily available. Mm-hmm. But I do understand from a budget perspective that it would be difficult, particularly historically, to get that information. But certainly I would hope that in the next report we will provide all of the information that they require. Because the budget should have begun to and I think it will give a much better perspective of the split in spending. The issue of the split between houses compensated and houses in shelter is not impossible to do. We've done that before. It's been done. The challenge may will now be on how much back do you go? And I think if we are to accept a particular approach to that issue when it comes to jurisdiction, on how we deal with the historical situation, we can be able to move forward with the specific information that is required. Particularly because you also want to be able to know the extent of completion of the uncompleted project. And that is something that we're working on. Also as a further bridge to the uncompleted. Chairperson, I think the issue of job creation, I will apologize because I do not know at what stage we stopped discussing on that because we under, I think I presume, and while Minister Sandeep is running around, we set on a formula that can best assist in determining and estimating the number of houses of jobs created, including indirect jobs in ground markets, through the services that we found. We have experiment, there would be shops, there would be that formula began to deal with that. Perhaps we may have stopped because of the public was also worked out a formula for EPW. So we wanted to make sure that those formulas do talk with other in fact they do are capable of confirming one another. I will check again because we may have to bring back those statistics as we do the reporting on the estimation. Accepting that by and large the housing program jobs aren't necessarily all permanent because of the moving nature of the project itself. So we wanted the permanent indirect jobs, that means in the other sectors that are seen off the economy. I think I've noted that so that we can be able to deal with it as a way of improving on the economy.
Jumping
into
the next another
point I would like to look at both the Department and the Office. The issue of returning the houses. We do understand the creation of the capacity. But we find that these people, they sell these houses and then they come back again, back to the set. So I don't know if there could be any recommendations that could be brought forward to overcome that situation. So thanks for that.
Chair, just one question that relates to the second case that presented around about just before April this year, I think it was the DG made an announcement that as of the 1st of April this year, the subsidy may only be used for the top structure. That all units built would have to be 40 square meters, nothing less than that. And just after that, we had an interaction with various provincial departments of housing as a portfolio committee. And one of the things that came out was that departments were saying that they would be able to comply with that for a while because they had a surplus of service sites and so on where infrastructure was already in. But there was going to come a time when they were going to battle. And I'm wondering whether the FSC has looked at that or would consider looking at that, because one of the concerns would be, I would imagine, or worries would be, is that you would have these subsidies, these houses going up, but the interest, and as you mentioned, spoken about the local equity, equitable share, etc., but you wouldn't have the same match in terms of what's being available for infrastructure, for your reticulation, etc. And I'm just wondering whether the FFT would perhaps consider looking into that and making some sort of recommendation so that we ensure that if we've got a housing budget for a particular year and we plan to build 300,000 housing units, that we have the same supply and same allocation in terms of infrastructure, etc. So that's a bit of a worry. Let's check it.
I just wanted to say that there are no answers to the questions asked by Mr. Daniel and Stain on the PHP. You said the PHP was only, information that we could get was only the area of the Eastern Cape. This committee knows that there is no PHP in the Eastern Cape. The PHP that the Eastern Cape says it does have is the municipality building houses, saying it's PHP, just to cover for their own. So we are very much aware of no PHP. So if you don't have a data on PHP, that's no problem, but we're just flagging so that you understand that we have a concern in terms of that area. And also the issue here is the issue around the municipalities and planning on housing. The issue of accreditation. You are saying that there's a reluctance on their part on the issue of accreditation because of this. I don't think the issue of reluctance per se, I think the question of the capacity in municipalities. Because we are of the same view that municipalities is not accredited if they don't have capacity to deliver. Because accreditation meaning that you are saying they have capacity to deliver, everything will be given to them for building houses and nothing will be done because there's no capacity. So every single municipality is supposed to have what is termed IDP, which is integrated plan. And within the IDP, they're supposed to have an element that deals the issue of housing in it. But as we speak, not all municipalities have even a single person who deals with housing. That's a misnomer. We'd like the Fiscal Commission to look at that in terms of the spread of provinces. What areas do we really have a problem as far as municipalities being able to build houses in those areas? Because that will help even the department in ensuring that in terms of budgeting, those responsibilities should be given to the province. But the province then build houses in those areas, in size and whoever is able to do this. But otherwise, those municipalities are left out of the loop in terms of the housing. There is a concern as well as far as the expenditure is concerned. You are saying, I haven't had the department responding in terms of that slide 8, interrogating it further in terms of the under expenditure taking place there. We are worried about the issue of that capital, that 25.4%. I think we agree with the Fiscal Commission when they talk about the issue of fluctuation in terms of budgeting. I think we need a pattern in terms of growth, at least to be able to know the trend, follow the trend quite evenly. But if this year you've got this budget, plus they cut, they increase, the fluctuation is not helpful. That's why I was asking, would the BND be of influence here or is it in the department?
Thank you, Chairperson. I didn't want to go to the actual question, because most figures are, or most times, we see that are public. I thought we could deal with that as part of the enforcement of further reporting.
With the
FST. Again, they will come after we've engaged, because I think in the past, the enforcement we do engage on the figures, because we've started information from the resources and years. I think, again, I think for the purpose of this engagement, I think I would request the committee to give the FST will come back with that data information for the future. Because I think our understanding, yes, is the way areas, the way yes, where feedback to certainly in all of the projects, yes. But it's something that
it improved.
We've managed to improve. It's been below that.
Yes.
That's number one. So that we can also not come here and argue about the but the principles. I think the department we have engaged with the committee around the issue of certification and I think the approach that is being used for certification. I think some progress is being made on the method.
Okay.
On the method. Again, it's very cautious because it's got to allow, it's got to match some of the principles that are in the accreditation framework. And I think we've had engagement with Treasury because they are financial institutions. I think we would want Treasury to assist in ensuring that there is substantial increase in the through those metrics. And so that they are, we can be comfortable that
they can do it.
And I think we had a meeting last Monday with the officials and Treasury. I think there are proposals that are coming through. Both of them would also be putting into the NTF allocation process. I think it is desirable that once all of us are comfortable with the capacity of those measures, with the fact that we still need to balance the constitutional mandate issue of those measures with respect to housing development, with the issues of the extent of oversight, policy direction, and the oversight by public around that, because anybody in France must fit within the planning regime of a province with respect to the various parts of the planning, and therefore the provinces still have the capability to direct in respect of the broader public health plan. So I think we've engaged on those things. I think the DORA that will come, particularly under the framework and the conditions, will then begin to articulate those things. But I think, again, even in those methods, the stages are not going to be the same at a particular time, but all of them have got one, and some of them have got level 2, and it reflects level 2, which is about everything, and then the clarification of the relationship with the economy. But I think at that particular time will come, but we will input that to the FFC. But I think the critical thing about accreditation is that when you have that, once you are emancipated with respect to certain things, there should be an expectation that you will contribute. And I think FFC's issue here is that it's probably at that stage that you may find that lecture. I think if you're the one reads that situation here, it's confusing.
It's a point where it is.
But I think we're likely going to reach some of the methods now. To actually have substantive information, the rejection might be because we need to have a way in which we deal with all the delivery and accelerating on the basis that all contribute and do so in respect of the public. I think that is that issue of the PHP. I think Jefferson, you've got it. There have been problems with PHP as implemented as a disjuncture from what PHP policy is about, so that's very clear. Even in definition terms, but I think at implementation there have been those variations that has effectively actually sometimes defeated the very purpose of what PHP is. Around the information on spending, I think with the new budget structure of the property, the budget line, at least at the annual, in fact, I was going to suggest that as we engage with the FFC, that is probably may have to use together the annual financial statement to pass information and not the budget, so that it becomes clear in outcome what has been and not what we had intended it to be. And then going forward, we can then use the budget. Well, because most of that information has been in the annual report of the department. At least it is a report both rather than trade. again, with Eastern Cape and those provinces, mm-hmm. where they have muddied the PHP, you will still need to adjust those and interrogate the nature of that PHP.
Thank you. Yes, sir. If you want to respond, you're fine.
Clearly taking all of the suggestions
okay.
to the
research. Sure. Yep. Members, I think we have engaged with this. Otherwise, we would be repeating ourselves. Because I think at the essence of what we are saying, that this is the food for thought for the Fiscal Service Commission, Fiscal Financial Commission. Okay? And we are saying ourselves that the kind of recommendation that you are coming up with does help us as a committee to look at critical on the issues that impede the delivery of housing. And we are happy that the department is here and has taken your recommendations, and they are saying that they are continuously engaging with you on this matter. But what we want to see as this committee is on the implementation side. Because we want to see the benefits of the recommendation in alleviating poverty on the ground. And to see, we know that Rome was never built on one day, but I think the Department of Housing must, as it continues to fast-track the housing delivery. And with the help of the bodies like this, Chapter 9 institutions and ourselves, would assist the department. It's not an us and them syndrome, it's our collective responsibility that we improve the lives of people. It would be sustaining particular involved. Yes.
Okay, just a proposal in terms of what you just said.
Yes.
And what the presenter said at the very outset of the, in terms of our role, oversight.
Yes.
Through you, Chair, I'd like to propose that the department has give us a report.
Hmm.
Based on their views on the recommendations, which ones they believe that they adopt and implement, which ones they have a problem with, over what period can the recommendation be implemented, etc. Just so we get an idea from the department side. We've spoken here at length, Greg spoke about it at length as well in terms of the interaction. Is this a recommendation we get gotten when they walk out the door there? Or if it is helpful in terms of delivery, is the department going to adopt it and implement it and do that sort
of thing?
Greg?
Who
you say
if
you
prepare
to
take this?
I'm
going to give you the
Greg.
So, thanks very much. Just a proposal I'd like to make, if possible. And that is that we've raised a number of things here, points that we've asked the FFC to have a look at, consider. Is it possible that, I don't know how long it will take them to look at that, but certainly within the next couple of months, that we'd be able to have another engagement with them, that they're able to come back to us on some of those things. But there's another request proposal I want to make, Chair, and as you've raised it and some others have raised it about the whole issue of planning. And this whole thing around, you know, that making sure that departments, different departments are talking to each other. And I know we've raised it in, we raised it this year in the budget speech, it came up quite a bit, and we've raised it with the department before, but I think that we do need to ask the department to come back to us now. They do need to come back to us and say to us exactly what steps have they taken to ensure that this integrated delivery actually takes place. In line with the breaking new ground, it's all very well to say. It would be all very well to say that you know the provinces can talk and find ways, but I think the department needs to come back to us and just tell us exactly what is in place and how is it going to be ensured that every project that is rolled out actually meets the BNG requirement of the development of social services that are included, etc. Those are the two proposals.
We have two proposals on the table that would need the response from the department and the FFC. One is that the FFC should look in terms of what we've been talking about from the key areas, apart from the recommendations that we are coming up with. In terms of the discussion, some of the areas, they are more of a priority than others. The issue of planning, the issue of departments speaking to each other. And what I've also seen here, which is quite good that you're coming up with, you seem to be approaching the cluster as it is, the social cluster, in terms of infrastructure, their own education, the school. That's very critical. But then in terms of the implementation, are those various departments able to speak to each other? So that is seen in terms of the implementation. That's what the recommendation says. The other one is the department itself. Having looked at the recommendations that are here, is it possible for a particular point in time to come before this committee and say that we have interrogated the recommendation from the Fiscal Commission? We think in terms of recommendation 1, 2, 3, 4, this would be our response. If recommendation 1 has already been dealt with in terms of your engagement, as you have said, no, we think that one has already been taken into account. So those kinds of areas, I think those are the recommendations they speak to each other. What do you say?
There's also one proposal that I would like to bring. It's the inclusion of the municipal housing development plan, especially at the local level. It has been ignored for quite a few times, and it is not part of the municipal IDC.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important that maybe FFC should also interrogate the issue with the provincial department, because there was a proposal previously that municipalities should develop housing development plan.
Yeah.
We should also address the issues in the Sierra Congress and selling of our houses, whether it is in line with the municipal development plan. We should also address the issue of budget at provincial level and the distribution of funds, because some municipalities do not have plans and they just apply for funds, and within your plans you would have areas which are serviced, areas which are not serviced. And that address the equation. So that can also be addressed to some of those challenges.
Yeah. In fact, that speaks to the issue of the accreditation we're speaking about. But in those areas, because we focus accreditation on metro, that's fine, it's happening. In the areas in overall, are all municipalities having their housing planning in them? Are they in place? The municipal housing planning. We are going to go straight to the EIAs, but for now, because that's an environmental issue. But because there has been a complaint about especially developers saying that the delay on housing is around also the issue of EIAs. And it happens because those EIAs are done by other departments which have other priorities. We're not saying they must all come to housing, but we are saying there is a visible delay in terms of implementation around the issue of EIA. We're not saying the environment should not be tested, it must be tested. But what extent is testing? It takes years, months before they really come to fruition. So, but we are flagging that as one of the issues that we think is housing does increase to deliver. But I think we have agreed that this is the end of this session in terms of engagement with yourself and ourselves. And I think I should just give you a minute to engage, and then I'll close in the meeting. Discuss with yourself, then the department will
Show you. What I can do to facilitate that is to report back to the meeting as I understand it.
Yes.
And then where the executive expert of research.
Yes.
The two focus areas that you are integrated development planning and capacity building. Then we would very much welcome another engagement with this. What I could say is that we want to hold a stakeholder seminar on housing in December. Now that may be too late, but that's just, our initial focus in the department really is helping us But depending on the timetable of the committee, you can readjust and reschedule accordingly. But if we could get contact details of
November would be better than December.
Mm.
End of November. December or in Bologna.
Okay.
Including St. Louis in Bologna. Okay. But I think, to take it seriously, stakeholder seminar would be very important. But what I'm thinking in terms of the program of parliament, this discreet as members, we're supposed to be adjourning from the 25th of November, I suppose. Okay? So that is the time for members to do their constituency. We don't want to take their time. So at least by the end of November, give members time at least to say we've got an excuse to come and do that work. But getting to December is too much for members. They will be expected to do else, something else by their respective parties.
Continue
to stay. Stay, you can go to the meeting, okay? And on behalf of. Okay. No, but I think the stakeholder seminar is appropriate. But it would be better if you inform us on time so that we're able to do necessary preparation. Say. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think here for us, I think it's to attend the committee. Perhaps without opening the engagement. From our perspective, I think from examining one, in looking at that particular issue of the homelessness statistics, our view has always been the contribution of that factor to the totality. That in fact, one should look at both the use of the statistics in determining the split of the allocation, as well as understand that the key area perhaps that drives the whole issue of equity is at how do you target the allocation of the final number. If you miss the targeting there, then I think you would fall foul of some. And I think at that level, I think the issue of improved demand data base for housing to determine more or less who is. Who is the leader for housing, etc. Would better serve as better instrument for ensuring that the overall objective of the program are achieved.
Thank you very much. Thanks, members. We are coming to the end of the meeting, but before we choose other people, we just want to say in terms of your work at the People's Parliament in Flagstaff, something is arisen from the department in Thabo, that we've been told that there will be houses built. Is that confirmed? So give us the date so that the members are able to be ready. October. You are going back to build houses there. 27th and 28th October. That's the Eastern Cape. Yeah, are you writing it there? Alright. Can we end the meeting at that point? Okay. Members remain because we want to check what is the next program. The lunch is the second floor.